Hey, this is Doug, a.k.a. Celandir. I'm the head DM at ROT.
This is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian. I'm game creator for ROT.
This is Michael, a.k.a. Mortis, one of the oldest players around, DM.
Alright, this is Kama. I'm one of the senior staff members at ROT, part of ZOK Studios. Where's your port of call?
This is Stu, a.k.a. Dark Absolution, avid player and DM and entertainment online.
This is Zeus, part of ZNK Studios, developer and DM of Realms of Trinity, and you're listening to the only NWN podcast.
This is so exciting! Wow! Where to begin?
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community, by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hi, I'm Shauna, a.k.a. Cat Dragonstar.
Hey, and this is Trey, a.k.a. Ashercon Zelo.
Pay attention when I'm talking to you, boy.
Hello, this is Boxy.
Okay, welcome to the Neverwinter Nights podcast, episode 122.
Of the only original Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Hey, in this episode, we're going to do some news, answer some email. And then the guys from Realms of Trinity are here to visit with us. How you guys doing? How's everybody doing?
Once again.
How much did we have to bribe them to come back again?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm still waiting on that case of vodka from the last time.
Case? Trey, you haven't gotten that vodka there yet?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, wait a minute. Wasn't that Striker B's job?
No.
Actually, I think it was that guy that kept calling me Karma the last time.
Oh, yeah. Karma. That was hilarious.
Was Striker calling you Karma? Karma?
No. Who was that, Brian?
Skunking.
That's it.
Skunking.
Well, you're lucky you got the first three letters right.
Okay, well, hey, let's do some news real quick, and then we'll get into the interview with the Realms of Trinity guys. EC Patterson tells us that the Gaming Parent Studios NWN2 mod, speaking of Trinity is out. So you might be sure you check that out. We'll have the link to that in the show notes.
Well, it's Neverwinter Nights 2. That is correct, isn't it? Isn't
that? Yes, it's an NWN2 mod.
I think I'd like to take this moment to also congratulate the Neverwinter Connections DM Grand Hall of Fame winner for 2009, Valis. And Manipsion is the player Grand Hall of Fame winner for 2009. Congratulations to both of those. I haven't played with either one of them, but I understand that they're exceptional people and exceptional DMs. So congratulations to them.
Cool. So was that announced this week?
Yes, that was.
Excellent.
Actually announced on January 1st.
So, hey, we got an email question from Brad Yim over at Desaria 2. He said that actually he had been listening to all of our episodes for a couple of months, episodes 7 through 110-ish. He was wanting to know, there were some people on Desaria 2 asking about a reputation system in their forums, and he remembers in one of our episodes that we interviewed a persistent world that had reputation system. And he was asking if we could remember who that was. And, so I'll just read here what he said. He said, it was an episode with Halloween Foxy where she kept pickpocketing people, and the DM was on the show with you and talked about how that would affect her reputation with different factions in the world. And so then his question is, do you recall what the persistent world was? And I'm pretty sure that was the Galesburg persistent world. Does that sound about right, Shauna?
I think so. That sounds, because it was a custom system that they had put together that was working extremely well for them.
Yeah, that was Master Kaveen over there on the Galesburg. So, Brad, if you're listening, head over to the Galesburg website and get on their forums, and I'm sure Kevin can tell you all about that system and how it works.
Oh, and Brad, if you're only up to episode 110, you're behind.
Yeah.
Get with the program.
Now, he also said, P.S., I think it would be awesome if we could do another if y'all could do another contest to try and get people to play with you guys again. Because if you remember, on Galesburg, we had some contests where we had people come and play with us. He thinks if you do this, one of your favorite persistent worlds, it might be a good way to get new blood into the world. So, you know, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. We should probably think about having another contest here pretty soon. What do y'all think?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like an excellent idea. Lord only knows I have a persistent world not being used, so I've got plenty of room on my server.
Yeah, that's an idea.
You know, hi, welcome to Ghost World and your ghost.
I don't know, maybe we could pick like three different persistent worlds and, you know, that are willing to host like three or four, you know, three or four hour sessions.
Right, because it usually takes that long.
Yeah,
especially if it's
not. And then
not
maybe
a non-
you know, then maybe the DMs can like award winners for best role play or something. And I don't know.
And that's right. And I know the best reward in the whole world. The DM promises not to kill the character. Right.
Oh well, that ain't gonna happen with me.
We'd be more than happy to accommodate something like that. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking
who are those mystery voices back there, Trey? Have you got elves back in there again?
Well, that's the guys from Realms of Trinity.
Wow. Oh, that's right. You did bribe them to come back, didn't you? Sorry. Never mind.
Hey, as long as you don't accuse us of being deep gnomes.
Well, that's about all the news we have for today. So, speaking of the Realms of Trinity, guys, welcome back to the show, guys.
Thank you. Great feedback.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Fun again.
So, hey, why don't each of you introduce yourselves again briefly, and then tell us something that no one knows about you.
And one at a time?
Yeah, one at a time.
Gotcha. Yeah, this is Doug, a.k.a. Selendir. I'm the head DM at ROT. I really don't know what I could possibly tell you that you don't know already.
This is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian. I'm the game creator of Neverwinter Nights 2 Realms of Trinity. May not know this, but I am a general contractor on the side.
Okay, cool.
This is Michael, a.k.a. Mort. I'm a nurse. Yeah.
All right, cool.
This is Stu, a.k.a. Dark Absolution. I'm a hoon.
You're a what?
A hoon.
A hoon?
Yeah.
Okay. You have to explain yourself there.
Oh, a hoon is like an Australian colloquialism. It means someone who is a bit of an idiot on the roads.
I'll have to remember that one because I kind of like it.
Yeah, that's good.
This is Kama. I'm a senior member of the staff over at ROT. And part of Z and K, something nobody knows. Well, actually, everybody knows I'm kind of mostly a slacker.
And that your name is Kama, not Karma.
Yeah, Kama, not Karma. How I wish I could reach through the screen at times.
That's what the kill button for is, dude.
And I'm Oberu. I guess something nobody else knew is that I'm actually here.
Okay, guys, well, welcome back to the show. Hey, you guys were on the show in episode 110, so what's been going on since then?
Well, a lot. We did finish out, as we discussed in episode 110, rolling out our first campaign, finishing up all 13 chapters, including three prologue chapters. That rolled out in end of August, and it was a great success. And immediately after, we start getting together and, you know, start looking at what we wanted to do moving forward. You know, we rolled out a whole a sub-version of ROT. It's the same server, same everything, but we did a lot of re-architecture, which we'll get to later. But we've been doing a lot of updates, like adding a lot of new functionality, a lot of great stuff for the players.
Cool. So have you seen a jump in players still, or still have a steady stream of players that you've always had?
Yeah, we had after our first podcast interview, we jumped significantly from where we were. We jumped to probably about 40 on average being on any given time. Then about towards the end of the year, probably around November, we had a slump down in people going to, you know, school and the holidays and everything.
Yeah.
But now we're starting to see a great resurgence, especially with the actual new, quote, version of ROT being out, more RP-centric and low-to-mid magic, and with all the new features, we've gotten a lot of new people.
Cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of new custom content that's bringing a lot of people in. And we're seeing that through a lot of word of mouth. Somebody will, you know, tell their buddy, they'll get in and they'll check it out. And we're getting a lot of people that are leaving a lot of other worlds and coming here.
Since the 15th of December, one of the things we'll talk about too is our database stuff that we did. We did tons of database work. And I've been able to track the unique number of players that got in on our server since December 15th. We're up to 171 players that have actually logged in and actually played considerably. So not just like, you know, me going to the server vault, checking number of their vault directories. I mean, I actually have their log in, log out histories and times that they're on.
Well, congratulations on that. That's very impressive.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, that's a lot of
players. So it means that you're doing something right.
I hope so.
We try to give people what they want.
Okay, well, now that your first campaign has been completed, and I think you may have touched on this already, so just reach out and slap me. No, don't do that. But what are your plans of creating a new campaign story? How does it coincide with the current server?
Yeah, we're going to have another campaign story. We're not sure if we're going to link it to the current story that we have now, but it's still going to be on the same server. You know what I mean? It'll just be like maybe you go to like a different area, and then you'll have a whole different, you know, quest log to go through and everything. And, you know, we might relate back to some of the older stuff in the original story just to, you know, so we can connect some dots and stuff like that. But
so it's going
to
be...
it's going to be a whole new edition.
So it'll be sequential to the episode that you have just finished up?
Yes.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, what it is it's... we did produce the video that I had mentioned in our previous episode at the end of our campaign for players to view, and I posted on YouTube and actually on the Vault. Got a lot of views. And it basically it's a full like a Neverwinter Nights campaign video that shows the end, what happens after you complete the first campaign, and it runs into the second campaign, the story, and that's what it's going to revolve around a lot of stuff which we actually have already whiteboarded the first, I don't know, say 2, 3, 4 chapters out of it. It's going to be extremely in depth and immersive. The biggest thing that I would say that it's going to blow people's heads off when they actually get into it, because it's such a large scale of an effort that it's going to take us a lot of time to develop it. That's why we're starting now. Actually, we started in November with the first rollouts in April coming. But it's actually going to involve the weave being pulled out of the world by an unknown force, which is tearing the actual magic fabric that holds Faerun together away. And things are starting to lose their power and everything, not just the player characters and all the different places and things. It's actually spreading out like a fog of death that's pulling out magic and killing life as it moves.
Cool.
From the dev side of this, I can say MBH.
Yeah, it's a definite, it's definitely a very in-depth development cycle. We're looking at about another 150 to 200 areas when we're all said and done. We currently have 187.
It's going to be like creating an entire new server. but then it's going to be added into what we have. So it's going to be, you know, double the amount of everything.
And to prepare us for that endeavor, right, about 2 months after our episode 110 interview, we had reviewed our hardware, and like I said before, we have very high-end production hardware, and I was like, mm-hmm. it was handling our current load perfectly, but knowing where we were going in the future, plus, you know, anticipating further player growth, we had basically built a whole new server farm for this project, stocked out with Intel Core i7, Bloomfield processors, you know, 8 gigs of RAM, fully redundant hardware. Our load time of our current mod went from 3 minutes and 28 seconds on average down to 47 seconds on average.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's no jokes. And also, we've only had literally, I'm not kidding, one crash in the last 4 months since I rolled this out at the end of August. So it's been extremely stable. And
the crash was caused by a power fluctuation.
Yeah, I had a little situation with my battery backup system that when it just blew out, the power didn't go out. My power backup blew out because all the 1,000-watt power supply and the thing wasn't it. I just didn't have that piece of the puzzle put together, so to speak. Kind of dropped the ball there.
Yeah. So can y'all tell us the new story behind this new campaign, or is that still kind of in the works?
No, I can. Our first campaign revolved around a devil named Cain that re-entered the world and was trying to take it over through force. And then once the player characters defeated him in our previous chapter 7, which is about mid-story, they had to go into the Nine Hells and defeat him there, where he could actually be killed per the lore of the fiends. And the players do that. They find themselves going all the way down into Cania and confronting Cain with Asmodeus' daughter,
Glissa,
and they have to actually accomplish that task. Well, at the end of that when they come back victorious, not to get too far into the original story, but when they come back to Trinity, the world was already sort of saved after Chapter 7, but this was like pretty much to make it permanent. And when they come back, things are good. Things are okay. Everybody's kind of getting along, and the military's being rebuilt under a new general because my character, Sir Brian Everland, got killed in the Chapter 10 sequence, and a new general was put into place at that time, General Brandon Slick. And General Brandon Slick, in the prologue, before this time period, is taking over Trinity, rebuilding the military, and, you know, getting everything in all the neighboring nations all back together again. So what ends up happening is about 2 years later, a strange darkness and energy is starting to spread from the like another plane or something. They don't know. I mean, it's just basically up in the air. Nobody knows what it is. It just starts out in the middle of a place called Dakmor, which is where the prime material plane meets the ethereal plane. And they start, all livestock in the farm areas that happen to be around there all start dying, so Trinity's food source and all neighboring nations' food sources are being destroyed. And so they send out the night captain, Master Jarlson, which is a drunk night captain who doesn't have too much of a following amongst his people. They send him out and to check what's going on in that area. Well, after 3 days, he hasn't returned. And normally when Vaster goes on one of his drinking binges, he's back in a day. So they start getting worried. General Brandon Slick start getting worried. And that's where the player characters come in to actually investigate in the prologue chapter what has happened to Vaster Jarlson and what is this strange force to investigate it. And they're going to come into that at that time. And at this point, that evil energy is starting to spread all the way into Trinity Town Center, Westgate, all the way up to Shadowdale, you know, the Thunder Mountains, all the way up into High Castle. It's really starting to spread across into Cormyr even at this point of the game. So upon the player characters returning from finding out what happened to Vaster Jarlson, which we're not going to give any of that up right now, they come back to find that General Brandon Slick has been assassinated. And then from that point on, everything's up in the air, and the only thing they have to lead their way is a mysterious book that Sir Brian had that was given to him by Torm about the future trials and tribulations that come to Faerun. But they can't open it because for some reason it's been sealed, and you know, hence the way of adventures start. And they have to go seek out the way to open the book, and that's going to be the chapter one into the whole thing. And they're going to be searching out one of the NPCs out in Westgate, which was Kata. It's coincidentally, actually, you have it was a little side quest in our first campaign where you actually had to find her missing dog. Seemed pretty innocuous quest at the time, but it's going to come very important in this one whenever you find out that something that the dog had around its collar is actually what you need to open the book. So you have a very seemingly innocent quest turning into something very problematic, especially since Westgate was pillaged and plundered like shortly after the first campaign ended, and now nobody's there. They all fled. So now you got to go find her. So that sums up the story right there.
Well, I only have one thing to say, and that's that I really think you ought to stop flying by the seat of your pants and actually, you know, plan some of this stuff out. I think there's so much more that you could do with this to expand some of that, and instead of just giving us, you know, teasers to taunt us.
Ooh, us plan?
Never.
But seriously, that's pretty impressive. Since I'm one of the fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants DMs, I'm just really impressed with the continuity, I guess, seriously, the continuity of what you're doing and the molding and the melding it into what you've already got, to already the history of your world, and leading it out there is extremely well done.
You don't even want to know where we're going with all the side quests that aren't plot related.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, that's another thing too. We have actually this month, and next week, as a matter of fact, we're rolling out our first major side quest edition for an area in the Sea of the Fallen Stars called Atlantis. It's a big side quest that we're working on. It's finished. It's beta tested and finished. It's just ready to be rolled out now. Call me. You got some stuff maybe you want to go through what you're working on in too.
Oh, yes. We've been working on expanding the Lintar snow areas. I got stage one into beta already. Well, sort of already. It's a whole nother bunch of boards that are all side quest related, nothing that's to the story, you know, just places you can go if you don't want to be, you know, directly in the plot lines. We just got tons of stuff we're adding in.
I've got a question that's kind of along those lines, but kind of off over here running around in left field. Do you have players who do not want to be involved in the main plot line?
We not necessarily. I mean, yes and no. I mean, there's players that will do the plot line, obviously, to get more power and, you know, to just have a story to go through. But the side quests, they view as other places to farm, get gold, experience, something to do. And not have to worry about going through stuff.
Okay, well, I was just curious that I was just, you know, because I was, you know, people maybe, for example, who can't play a whole lot. And so rather than get involved in the plot line that they're not going to be able to keep up with, do they just kind of wander around and do the side quests just for the pleasure of gaming?
We kind of have both. You know what I mean? We're going to add more areas in that are just kind of free roam, and we have that now with a lot of the new side quests that are coming in, which are the further expansions from the area that we have through the main story. But in addition to that, you know, like we said back with episode 110, you know, all our stuff is journal entry driven. So as you go through and progress through the story, even if you have a limited amount of time, you can always go back through your journal system and see exactly what you've accomplished, what you need to get done, who you need to talk to. You know what I mean? So even if you can only get on, you know, a couple hours a week, you know, it's always going to be there for you to, you know, to get back. And, you know, all you got to do is just log in, send out a shout, and I'm sure there's somebody on there that's going through that quest also.
And also, to, just to add to that, I mean, we have developed our chapters in such a way that in that mindset that players may not have 14 hours to sit down or even two hours to sit down and go through something. A lot of the stuff that we developed in the mindset that you should be able to go through within 45 minutes to an hour, each chapter, each segment of our story, so that you're not sitting there grinding, hunting around for another hour and grinding. You know, we set up everything in such a way, even our map, or our world map system and our transition system, so that you're not spending redundant time just running through the same boards over and over again to get point A and point B to really maximize your play time on the server.
Oh, okay. Excellent. That has always been one of my major complaints, is, you know, wandering through area after area just to, you know, where you spend 20 minutes of actual time going from town A to town B, and then once you're there, oh, okay, now what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
So I had forgotten, and my apologies for that, I had forgotten that you had said before that your overall plot is continuously going for those people who are actually working through it.
Hey, I'd just like to add in right now, a lot of our side quests, since it's optional content, for the most part we try and make it more challenging instead of just, you know, like the running through for the grind to the next level. We try to add a lot of that stuff in to give experienced players a place where they can challenge their builds, a place where they can go out and test what they got. You know, since it's optional, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a cakewalk or easy to do.
And it's very hard to balance a brand new player with an experienced upper level character, and not have, you know, one just totally rolled right over and the other just, you know, laughing at the ease with which they went through it.
Exactly. So, you know, we try and make sure that there's content available for all caliber of player.
Excellent. Okay, you've said you've rolled out a new version of Realms of Trinity. What features were added? I think you've touched a little bit on how some of the content was modified. Want to share some more details on that with us, please?
Sure. The first thing is, you know, on top of the fact that we rescaled the content of the server to be more balanced and more to allow more builds to be able to do more, not necessarily to stop the power builds from being powerful, but to actually allow more builds, more classes in all of their feats, I can't ever say all, but most of their feats, skills, and abilities to matter more. Instead of just getting an item that gives you this, that, and the other immunity or whatever, we've really, really made you, your character mean so much more in your skill, your classes. And we do use the Cadran PRC, and a lot of the Cadran content, people really are able to get a lot of enjoyment out of that, to be able to add those different builds to their repertoire of their classes. So that's been extremely successful. Players love that. But on top of that, on top of the actual content for Scaleback, we have put in, we dumped all the natural database stuff that's inherent to the Neverwinter Nights 2 game engine, and which is, I believe it's the same as the one that was in Neverwinter Nights 1, to using a fully relational MySQL database system. Now, I didn't just create, you know, recreate the journal stuff and the bank and types of things. I added a ton of new functionality in to give us supreme power on what we can see and have the visibility into the game that we really need to be able to develop, you know, top-notch premium content for the players that they can enjoy a lot faster than before, where a lot of times we're stabbing in the dark and things like that. So, for example, the first thing that we get from a lot of people is, oh, you know, we would like to have, like, more random dungeons and, you know, more mob, you know, just different randomness and that, and what you see here and there, not so you don't necessarily expect X mob at Y location. So what we did was, we already have our own spawner system that, you know, it's all time spawner and sometimes triggered spawners depending on the layout or spread out of the board. But nonetheless, all uses the same spawning code behind the scenes. We actually added the all the spawners' configurations to a database, all keyed, and with their location, what they are, what their mobs are, everything. So everything's in a database upon, you know, it's fully available to be viewed and configured so from the database. So I actually have administration screens that we can modify the spawners dynamically real time, and the code senses the change in a database and will actually kick the spawner and basically just totally redo the spawner on the fly without us having to bounce a server or anything like that. Plus, it gives us the ability to see exactly what we put where very easily instead of us having to load an area up, you know, looking for little spawner eye points everywhere and seeing what the very local variables are on them. It's all right there, and you can actually customize the select statements down, the reports down, have nice dashboards that really work with that as well, too. Now, that was the first step. The second step was I'm currently writing a Windows application, well, just a console application. I'll run on a scheduler that will go through every 2 hours and change the spawner's configurations for the appropriateness of area to different mobs, different amounts of mobs, different gold drops, different item drops, and that'll run every 2 hours to give you all those spawners that we flagged as dynamic to be able to be changed automatically every 2 to 4 hours.
Wow. You're a geek.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's been my career for the last 10 years, database application programming and whatnot. So
yeah, there's just like geek running out of my speakers.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a big plus. It gives the players what they want there, and plus it gives us the ability to quickly, I mean, on the drop, if I need to change something in the spawner or something in the game, you don't have to bounce the server. It's just automatic. You do it, boom, resets, done. And the changes are real time. So that's one big benefit there. You just get the benefit of even being able to, and this is, comes up to the next thing. We have the player profile data tables, and we have the character profile tables, where we store each player that logs in, and we also store each character they have with all their stats, from their AC, their AB, all their classes, levels, their gold, their experience, you name it, we save it. And the reason for that is that we can dashboard that information when we do our content, because we know exactly what players are playing. Not we take a stab at what we see online when, but we can actually run, you know, averages of ABs and armor classes and saving throws and things like that to be able to see all those things. Not to mention the economy of the world. I hear this a lot from a lot of other developers and other servers where they talk about, you know, how do you keep track on, you know, your economy of your world, how much gold you're giving out, things. Well, I say very simply, I can look at any given time, any given second, how much gold is in the world by doing a tally of each individual character and their separate bank accounts, so that you can start seeing if you have runaway gold tallies or how much you're doing there. And also, you can even see how much you're giving out because the spawner system, I can see exactly how much each spawner randomly generates on a mob.
So if I bribe you good enough, you can... Can fill my bank up for me?
Well, I was going to say, not to mention, this makes it a lot easier for staff to track trouble players.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just thinking that myself. Like,
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He can adjust the gold per spawner every 2 hours, so we can actively monitor and control the economy real time. We don't have to reboot.
That's why. That's amazing.
Yeah, and the greatest thing about that is, like, if you're logged in as a PC, the players don't exhibit, they don't even know that it's going on. So, you know, Cat Dragonstar, you mentioned that you like to do things on the fly. So, I mean, if you log in as a DM and, you know, you want to run an event with somebody, you know, you can send out a shout, you can bring up the database, change all the mobs in that area, and then run your thing right there without even you don't have to drop the server or anything. You can just go, okay, wait here for 2 minutes, and you're ready to go.
Oh, excuse me. I just have to go kill myself, okay? I hate you people. Trey, don't you ever ask these people back here again.
Why? Are you jealous of them?
Oh, would a dragon be jealous? No, of course not. No.
So, you guys have also redesigned your website. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we looked at our website. You know, we developed it, you know, a couple weeks before we rolled out our server in September of 2008, and we put it together a decently clean website, easy to navigate through, very simple, nothing too crazy, just to get players to the information they need to get started. At the time, WorldGate information, forums, basic stuff. Mm-hmm. But looking at, you know, and this is what I do for a living. I'm in a marketing background and, you know, marketing web background. I was like, well, you know, what can we need to actually, because we've gained so much momentum and popularity, we need to really look at our brand, our branding, and also incorporate the Neverwinter Nights brand itself, because this is Neverwinter Nights. This isn't Dragon Age, or this isn't, you know, another, and you know, MMO. This is Neverwinter Nights, and we're here to promote Neverwinter Nights, not just Realms of Trinity. I mean, we're trying to help the whole brand out. And what I did was, is when I redesigned it, I wanted to take all those elements into the redesign of the website and our web properties to reflect that. And so what you see now on our website is a very clean, very aligned to the Neverwinter Nights brand logos and the look and feel and the way the site is laid out. And very professional looking, clean. And we also are going to be, we architected it to be very flexible with our upcoming additions to the website. So not only the game expanding in all these ways we mentioned, but the actual website's going to be expanding in a couple of the things that I'll discuss now. The one is the DM portal. The Dungeon Masters will be able to log in and authenticate and actually get on the DM portal, and they'd be able to change the stuff. And all the spawners, they'll be able to look up any given player, all their characters, all their stats, their inventory, you name it. They'll be able to go and check it out real time without even being in the game. They'll be able to affect their bank accounts, their wish shard totals, which something we'll talk about shortly, and some of the other stuff, all the stuff revolving, even fixed journal entries, because all that's in the database, really easy to update and to be accessed as well, to be dynamic. On top of that, the players are going to be getting a big bonus here shortly too. Right now, I'm in talks with a guy from the BioWare community, like the, you know, www.bioware.com/ their forums. And you know how currently the login that you use to log into Neverwinter Nights 2 is the same login you can use on the forums. They're tied together. What I'm trying to do is I'm working on a way to be able to do an ad hoc, not necessarily an LDAP authentication to their server, but so that players can actually log in with their credentials and to be able to view their characters, their stats as well online, but also to be able to delete their characters right from the vault. They can be able to delete them directly and to be able to do other things that directly affect their characters. So they'll have all kind of access to their own online experience on our website as well.
Wow, it sounds like you're building a cool portal for your DMs just to do anything that they want. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also a portal for players.
Sorry, say again?
It's also a portal for players.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, the thing is we have all this power now with the database, and we developed it in such a way that it's we're not redundantly storing stuff. We're storing it very cleanly and very accessible and reusable for the specific purposes. We're not going to store, you know, useless data. We're storing only what we need to run the server and to be able to give players more a real-time, dynamic, you know, things that the actual games engine itself was never designed to do by itself. I mean, now we're actually able to do all this stuff. That's what's nice. You know, why we need to empower our DMs. We have, you know, 7-8 DMs on now. And we like to empower them as much as we possibly can to be able to do the things that they want to do.
That's incredible. I really am just going to have to just come right over here and shoot myself, because our method now is to delete a character. Please make a post on the forums, and we'll get to it when we get to it. And I thought we were being really high-tech with that.
Oh, we were doing that for a while, but as we get more and more set up. Everything that we can, we automate, which leaves the DMs and the staff more time to run events and come up with plot lines instead of having to handle the day-to-day menial tasks and crap like that.
Well, I think that's wonderful. I was talking to someone from another world several years ago, and they were somewhat stunned and amazed that our administrators were actually kind of separate from our DMs, although our DMs are now our administrators, but that's an entirely different story. But all they considered their DMs were not there to run events. They were there to just be trouble busters.
We went through that phase, and that had a lot to do with prompting us to look into alternative ways to handle the day-to-day operations and get things situated so that the players can play and the staff has time to cook up new stuff and plots to make the players play.
Most players do not understand how much administrative time goes into running a persistent world.
Yeah.
There's a huge amount of time behind the scenes before they can even log in and you know, go from point A to point B.
Yeah, I've been guilty of getting to that point where, you know, I blow a gasket after, you know, when you get most of the player base, they're really good people. You get that certain percentage in any world, in any given, you know, any given server. You're going to have that certain percentage that is always pushing for more, always asking for more, always gives the staff a hard time. You know, I've gotten to that point where those few have actually, you know, gotten under my skin and gotten me to the point where I'm like, you know, you people are the reason why, you know, on a lot of worlds, there's a lot of turnover on staff. A lot of people just don't honestly understand how much of a chore it is to keep a world running and to keep things up and going.
Oh, I can only imagine.
You know,
I know how hard it is to keep this podcast going. I can't imagine a persistent world.
This podcast runs by itself. What are you talking about, Craig?
Yeah, whatever. So, hey, is Zeus still there? You still awake?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Excellent, excellent, man. You know, Zeus, I'd like to, you know, he didn't get his chance to do his introduction. He's been a partner in Crime of Minds for 5-6 years ago. We met on a Neverwinter 1 world called Arion, and, you know, we became friends and everything. In fact, he was one of the first people that started teaching me how to introduce, you know, new content. And, you know, we teamed up now as Z&K Studios, where we're doing a lot of work for the Realms of Trinity and bringing a lot of really cool stuff into Neverwinter 2. A lot of it wouldn't have been any way to be done without his help.
Well, 4 cheers for Zeus, then. Yeah, this is pretty impressive.
I was going to say, Zeus, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the custom content that's been created for Realms of Trinity?
Well, there's a few things we've been working on. We've introduced the double weapons, the double-sided weapons from Neverwinter Nights 1 into the Realms of Trinity. They work more or less as double weapons would have worked in Neverwinter Nights 1. They have all their feats and any necessary scripts applied to them already. There's lots of custom new models for them. We've also started working on revamping the Obsidian Tramps because they were just completely broken to begin with. We've added in some epic traps, and we're working on scaling the effects and the damage of them. I even figured out a way to custom calculate the save DC for the traps as well, which seems to work out fairly well. We've also introduced couple other things. We've worked on, we've added in a little widget to help tell role-player PvPers apart from normal characters that don't want to PvP. Basically what it does is it turns your character's name red so that other players can see that, yes, I agree to partake in PvP as long as it's in a role-play situation.
I would like to encourage anybody that is curious. Kama and Zeus have made a posting on our forums just to promote their work, their screenshots and what they're working on. And some of the stuff they've developed, they've designed, like, just graphically, not including all the feat work they've done and the integration they've done, but the stuff is very professional. Like, you would think that it was made by guys who got paid to do this. It's really well done.
We like to think we're better than Obsidian, yes.
No, I understand. I understand one of you is cuddly in a porcupine kind of sort of way. Which one of you is that?
Well, hey, what can I say?
Sorry, I digress.
I'm a right proper bastard most days, but, you know, I have my good points, too.
Well, everybody should be that way. Anything else from the studios that we need to know about?
Yeah, they one of the big things from Z&K Studios that's been a phenomenal success is the fact, and we mentioned this the last time we were on, was that we have our own guild halls where players can purchase or submit their own areas that we incorporate into the server and integrate them with the player housing and actually, you know, give them keys to their place and stuff like that. And they can actually give them place on the forum and whatnot to keep track of all their players and run their own little RP side quests and everything. Well, the big one thing that they come up with, Kama and Zeus, is that they come up with their own custom guild cloaks that they're modeling in for the players. And they look beautiful. I mean, they're totally customized. Some people, they submit their own, you know, designs and sketches, and then they'll incorporate them. But that's been a big success. That's one of the, you see people running around with their own custom guild cloaks and stuff. It's huge.
That's one of the things that players really like. And so that,
well, we all know, you know, everybody needs to run around with their own colors, you know.
I thought he was going to say something else. Hey, aside from the new campaign, are there any other side quests or rollouts that you have scheduled?
We have on next Saturday, we're rolling out Atlantis Guild of the Mystics. That's going to
be... Say the date. Saturday what?
Let me double check. You know, I'm off the top of my head here. That'd be the 5th, January 16th.
Okay.
2010, we're going to be rolling out Atlantis Guild of the Mystics. It's this full side quest that's built off our current Atlantis, you know, experience for the original campaign. It consists of about 5 or 6 areas. Actually, it's like 6 areas because I have 2 in the same area, but just for to speed up transition times. And it's very detailed, very, you know, skill-based oriented and RP oriented with a nice full backdrop story.
Can you swim?
No, you don't. Well, actually, yes, you do. We do have an underwater scene there as well where we use the underwater effects pack from RWS Studios, custom models that we've done. We also have the Hilintar expansions that Kama was talking about and the stuff that Oberu is working on as well. That's going to be rolling out a little later, Oberu stuff.
Cool. And so I assume if anybody wants to check out the details and all this, they can go to your website and read all about it.
Absolutely.
Hey, guys. Well, hey, we appreciate you guys being on the show again. Any other questions that we have for them, pod people?
No.
I don't know. I think they have provided us with a whole bunch of really neat information about what's going on, and I know I certainly appreciate it. Is there anything that each one of you might have as a last thought about your world that you'd like to share with us?
Definitely.
Well, I tell you, from the first time when we did episode 110, you know, we talked about our epic relevel system, and you know what that. Just to recap that, what that is, you know, after you hit level 30, you know, you can. You still gain experience, and then when you hit certain experience caps, you know, you're awarded, you know, ability points so that your character can, you know, keep growing and keep getting stronger. You know, before we would do that, a DM would have to come in and adjust your character while you were in play. Now with the new automated database that we got, you know, the characters don't have to wait for a DM to come in now. They can come right in, go to our temple, and do their ER by themselves. And then what that does is with the database, it also allows us to track how fast they're getting to those caps so that we can see if, you know, something's a little too easy, maybe they're getting a little too much experience, and we can time all that stuff to see how fast people are actually getting through things. So it's real nice that...
I'd like to add that, you know, any player of Neverwinter 2 should come to the Realms of Trinity, give us a try. You know, we strive to constantly push the boundaries of what is the limits of Neverwinter 2.
And don't pet the porcupines.
Don't pet the porcupines, that's right.
That's right.
If people start passing out res rods, you know you've done something wrong.
Yeah, and I'll add, too, I mean, I follow up what Common was saying as well. I mean, the fact is, you know, we push the bullshit on a daily basis, you know, with stuff that we do. And on top of that, we really do care about the players. We do listen to suggestions. We love to have every and everywhere nice 2 player possible come visit us. And not only that, you know, I want personally to expand the Neverwinter Nights 2 brand, you know, itself, the Tar East product. Because without it, we don't exist. So, you know, I see a very heavy degradation on the Neverwinter Nights 2 front with staff leaving Obsidian, and there just doesn't seem to be, the players are dropping off in total. I'd like to see a resurgence come back, because there's no reason that Neverwinter Nights 2 can't come back strong from the community and with the stuff that we've even been able to do. And eventually we're going to be putting stuff out in the vault for other persistent worlds to use as well. You know, it's not just about Realms of Trinity. We're trying to really push the envelope of the game itself.
Yeah, I think you guys might be one of the top NWN2 worlds out there.
Definitely. Any PC that comes in, you know, between the custom areas, the custom, you know, environment effects, even, you know, the new double weapons, you know, you're going to see stuff that isn't on any other server out there, you know, and a lot of that comes from, you know, a lot of the people that we picked up, you know, like Z and K and, you know, the other DMs, you know, they're bringing this stuff that, you know, quite frankly, you know, me and Brian building the areas frees up a lot of our time. And, you know, it's great having things in the server that you're not going to see anywhere else between, you know, custom monsters, custom weapons, custom items.
Scripting, setups, you name it.
I'd also
You know, a lot of worlds try to focus on either the hardcore RP crowd or the hardcore action crowd. We try to set up to make it fun for both. And that gives us an edge when it comes to, you know, how many different crowds you can have playing and coexisting friendly.
Yeah, I want to toss out a big thank you to a guy we never see much on this type of a forum, which is Kinedrin. His PRC is good stuff, and he provides outstanding customer support, for lack of a better way to put it. That guy is excellent. We like him. He's always helped us out, and I have to say thank you to him. I know he's listening in eventually.
Cool.
I have to agree with that. You know, Kadrian has been, he's been to our forums. He follows up on all his stuff. You know, he does a pretty good job at responding with people.
These are a pack of great guys. I'm really ancillary to these guys. They do drive the show. I do my best to get on online and help entertain the players, either as a PC or as a DM. It's a great group of guys to be involved with, and I feel really privileged.
Yeah, I'm just happy to be a part of it. And, you know, for all you people listening, just give it a shot. What do you really got to lose anyway, right?
Some time.
Definitely. Cool. Come visit us.
All right. So there you have it, everybody. Go check out the Realms of Trinity.
Because what do you have to lose? Except just a little bit of time.
Okay. So we got anything else before we close out?
I don't know. I think that's about it outside of my coughing attack back here.
Okay. Since Doug is the head DM, Doug, why don't you give our closing line for us. Until next time, get in game and
level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2010.
Tama. Hey. Hey there.
This is going to be a fun episode.
Yeah.
Arr.
Arr. Okay. All right. Y'all were talking to each other, so I couldn't add you to our group. Goobers.
I answered the call that was coming in from you guys.
Oh, okay.
Well, that was your first mistake.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, because I.
Wow. Okay. I'll try to avoid that in the future.
That's right. Do not answer any call from the podcast. It's only trouble.
Okay, that didn't work.
Not one bit.
That was supposed to... Never mind. Striker, are you with us?
Are you with us?
Striker. There's an echo now.
Crank your gains, mate.
Can you hear me now?
Yes! Okay.
Perfect. Just scream all night.
Okay, do your hello so we can go on.
Crank your gains, mate. Crank your gains, mate.